Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Leadership from the Heart. I am your host, and I'm riding solo today, as I casually like to do. I think I'm going to do more of this like I did in the beginning of podcasting. Today, I wanted to talk about something that's been on my mind and honestly a little bit on my heart, which is learning how to trust yourself again or even to start with. Sometimes life knocks us down and we're resilient. We will get back up and we know we're going to get back up. But there's a second piece to getting back up that I think we often ignore, and it's just how we move differently after getting back up. It's the self-doubt or the mistrust that we start to put out there, because now that I've gotten back up and I've learned my lesson, right? And there are many lessons to learn in getting knocked down. But now that I've learned my lesson, I tend to push people away because I don't want to get hurt again. And so this episode is going to be all about not so much getting back up, because I think people do that naturally, but it is the after effect of what happens when we get back up. And when we think about life knocking us down, again, it's really just teaching us a lesson. And it's not teaching us a bad thing, right? It's not a bad thing. It's teaching us areas of our life that we may have like a blind side to. And so I always say that I learned this from my coach, Preston Smiles, that life often talks to you in a whisper, a nudge, and then a 2x4. And so that's how warnings come to you. You shouldn't really be doing that. It's sort of a whisper like, hey, maybe I shouldn't do that, right? It's like a gut check. And so when you ignore that, and you continue to ignore it, then you get a nudge like, hey, maybe you really shouldn't be doing that. And let's use this in like a really tangible concept of, let's use it in health, right? Let's say you start smoking. And so you're smoking cigarettes and you get this little inkling of, you know, hey, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. You see the commercials, you hear the horror stories, and then you start to get like a little cough. And this is like your nudge, right? You start to get a little cough. And then you continue to ignore it because you're just enjoying smoking. And then, you know, whether it be years later or so, you may develop like a disease, right? And it all comes from the whisper, the nudge, and then now the 2x4 of being sick because we chose to keep smoking, even though we had all the signs that told us that perhaps we shouldn't. And so in those small instances, when we ignore the whispers and then we tend to get the nudges and maybe ignore those, and then we have the 2x4 moment, which is kind of what knocks us down, right? And when we get knocked down, it hurts. It's really, really painful sometimes. And again, as people, we will get back up, but it's who are we when we get back up, right? How reserved are we? How trustful are we? At times when we get knocked down in leadership and relationships, what happens is that we don't just lose trust in other people. We actually lose trust in ourselves because life is happening from the inside out. And when we start to second guess the signs that we did see, but we ignored, we take it out on ourselves. And as a result, also the people that are external from us, the people outside of us. And I want you to remember that as you start to feel something inside, it's basically a product of what you're putting out. And in spirituality, we would say so within, so without, right? So that what that means is as above, so below. So whatever's inside of you is what's going to come out of you. I forget his name, but he has a really simple way of displaying this. He has an orange in his hands and he says that when the orange gets squeezed, what kind of juice is going to come out, right? It's not going to be apple juice. It's not going to be cranberry juice. It's going to be orange juice because that's what's inside. So what comes out is always what's inside. And so if you ever found yourself saying like, I'll never do that again, or I guess I can't trust anyone, this episode is definitely death for you. When we get hurt, our first instinct is to usually overcorrect. And I am notorious at this, right? My pendulum swings from one side all the way to the other until I find balance. And, you know, in leadership, this may look like you walk in and you initially establish yourself as a very kind person, and you try to show kindness everywhere, and your kindness gets taken for granted. And so now you say things like, I guess I can't be kind anymore. Now I have to start being, you know, mean or less than kind. Or maybe you give someone a second chance against your gut, right? And they blow it. And they blow it. And you say something like, I guess I can't give second chances. Not everybody deserves a second chance. And in love and relationship, it's the same, right? You gave and perhaps it wasn't reciprocated. And so you tell yourself that you're never going to allow yourself to give this much again. These are what I call blanket statements, blanket responses. And so you take something that happened and you basically unfold your blanket and you place it all over the entire situation. And all it does is cover the issue when what's really being asked is for you to look at the situation and to actually learn from it. We create blanket statements as a form of protection. And I understand. And it feels safe, but it only feels safe for a while. Because the problem is that it doesn't only protect you from outside influences or outside threats, but it also stops you from being able to penetrate people as well. And if there's one thing we know about people is that we need connection. And so when you blanket yourself and you say things like, I'll never trust again, or I guess I can't be kind anymore, you basically stop that going from you to the outside world, but also the outside world coming into you. What happens when we do that is we start to just reaffirm our belief, our new belief in that, because when we can't see kindness or we can't see second chances and we can't see love coming in from the outside as evidence, then we also just continue to tell ourselves, this is why I can't trust. And this is why people suck. And this is why. And so you just start to reaffirm this story that you've actually just created instead of looking at the situation, finding what you missed, finding the lesson, finding when your gut told you not to, just analyzing that, or maybe just looking at it differently. Maybe I should have stopped at the third chance and not the second chance, whatever it is, right? Only you know what the lesson that you can extract from it is, right? Trust comes from knowing yourself. And that's why I say that you're only going to be able to learn the lesson yourself, right? Knowing your current limits, knowing that you will figure things out as you always do, knowing your values, knowing that you have the courage to look at the role that you played in every situation, because it did not happen to you, it happened with you. Who created that situation? And so in that situation, when bad things happen, extract the lesson, don't punish yourself, don't allow yourself to wallow in what happened, get knocked down. We've all been there before. Get your lesson, learn from it, and then move on. When we allow our ego, the darker side, to lead, and we sit and we stew in our negativity about the situations that knock us down, all our ego wants to do is protect us. This is what the wallowing in the situation does, right? The ego is designed to protect you. The ego is designed to say, we haven't done that before. Let's not do that. That looks dangerous. We might get hurt. And that hurt just physically, right? Hurt emotionally. We might get rejected. Or we might get pushed away. All these things that the ego is designed to do for us. And it's a beautiful thing. I think that we don't give the ego enough credit, right? It's such a bad thing in mainstream right now. And I think that if it's used for its exact purpose, then it's doing a good job, right? You just need to know, this is me reacting. This feels like ego. Let me check it, right? And let me tell my ego to take a back seat right now. We're okay. I'm not dying. It feels like dying, but I'm not dying. We're just going to own this part of us. We're going to allow this pattern of ours to kind of dissipate. Some say die. And like I tell my ego all the time, I'm like, don't worry, you'll attach yourself to the next best thing. And then we move on. And that really soothes my ego really quickly because it understands that I'm not trying to kill it off. I am just trying to like prepare for the next thing. And so as soon as I say like, ooh, this feels heavy and we might have to die to this and it's okay, I've got you, you're safe, basically doing these small affirmations, then my anxiety clears out almost immediately and I'm able to then see clearly, because we know that when we're in it, we can't really see clearly. So I wanted to take a step forward in this and kind of distinguish what the ego voice sounds like versus what your soul or wisdom voice sounds like. And so the ego in tone would sound really loud, really urgent, impatient, with the fear of missing out, and also very critical. The fear of missing out is such a funny one because this is one that I think I inherited from one of my parents. I'm not going to say which one. And the fear of missing out, like, we have to do it right now. If we don't do it right now, we're going to miss out. And that I think I just started to understand maybe a year or two ago that that's not real. What's for you will never miss you. And so the fear of missing out is a very fake thing that we get really caught up in, right? The deal, it's only right now. And so we're kind of programmed in this way when we look at commercials and we look at flash sales and all these things that happen. And if I don't take advantage of it right now, then that's very egotistical. That's making you feel scarce. And so they're putting scarcity out there so that you react quickly. And in some situations, I'm sure it's fine. But in this situation, I would say the fear of missing out is an illusion. And so the language of ego asks a lot of questions. It says, like, what if? Don't mess this up. Like, it's very negative. And it's hard to hear it in yourself if you've never really stopped and asked yourself, what voice is this? The energy that ego gives out is always fear-driven. It's seeking control, seeking validation. It's comparing yourselves to others. So the focus of ego is survival and validation. And it cares a lot about the exterior image, cares a lot about winning and being competitive. And it also cares a lot about being right. The ego feels like pressure, like tension in the body and these looping thoughts, right? I thought that's a real thing for me, looping thoughts. Jumping into the soul or wisdom's voice, the tone is gentle, it's calm, it's grounding. Even when it's firm, you feel grounded in the tone. It's almost like when you know something is true for you inside of yourself. The language is, this feels right. Trust the step. Be patient. It's always calling you to grow. It's always calling something out of you to be better for yourself. The energy is rooted in love, clarity, and expansion. The focus is growth, truth, alignment, and connection. And it feels like relief. It feels like openness. It feels like a quiet knowing. A lot of the times it's a subtle knowing. It's something that you just know inside of you. I want to take a step back and talk about the relief. It's like when you are supposed to have a conversation that you know you're supposed to have and you've been putting it off, and then you finally have it and it feels like the weight just lifts off of you. That's wisdom. Those are things that need to happen versus the opposite, right? Where you're competitive, you need to be right and you need to get your point across and all those other things. I know that I can think of a few things in my life right now where I'm operating from ego instead of wisdom, and this will always happen. I don't think you ever get to a place, obviously you can, but I don't think you can get to a place where everything is just soul and wisdom. The ego is still very much inside of you to keep you alive. And we're being honest, extracting the lesson is hard. You know, extracting the lesson means almost looking at the mirror and again, looking at the part that you played in this and then owning that. And sometimes owning that hurts more than the actual thing that happened because we see that we are hurting ourselves. And that's a really hard thing to do and to look at sometimes, because then we'd have to ask the deeper questions, right? But the beauty is, and what I call like a small hack, is when you finally start to do the self-reflection work and you move from survival, from being the victim, and you're choosing to thrive, or to understand that you are co-creating this life, this world that you live in. And when the lessons are learned completely, you really never have to learn that lesson in the same way ever again. Because the whole goal is for you to just extract the lesson and then move on. How I practice learning the lesson is I like to write things down in totality, right? So I write the whole situation out in my, you know, in the way that I can. And then I kind of underline while I'm writing the parts that were the whisper, the nudge, or the 2x4, right? Like, shit. Right there. That was a moment that I knew and ignored. Why did I ignore it? Because I didn't want the truth to be, I didn't want to be rejected, because I wanted them to like me. B- because of X, Y, or Z, right? And so I start to like see the role that I played and like ask myself truly, like, all right, I wanted them to like me. Why do I need people to like me? What is it inside of me that desires that validation from the outside world? And if that's the role that I played in it, basically saying that I gave of myself when there was not much to give, then I go there. And not everybody will go there right away because it's very deep and it feels almost never ending. And I don't go there all the time right away. Sometimes I just write it out and I become aware of it. And I also have to say, like, you know, I don't think I'm ready to look at this just yet. But when I'm ready, right, I own the part of the outcome. I reaffirm the lesson that I learned. And life will usually give you like another small test just to be sure that you learned it. And, you know, the same as when you commit to a diet and you get to work and there's donuts. It's just a little checkpoint to say, are you who you say you are? And if passed, then the temptations, they eventually go away and you become the person that's no longer on a diet, but that just eats well when they want to. But I know that like when you're struggling and you're in the middle and life gives you tests, sometimes you think that those tests are there to like knock you down again. And it feels overwhelming. Like, why is there always donuts when I go on a diet? What is up with that? Right. And it's not, again, it's not against you. It's actually for you. It's actually just a checkpoint to say, are you who you say you are? And so, you know, I'll share the story with you guys. Earlier this year, I came out of a really long-term relationship. And like any breakup, it forces you to look really, really, really hard at yourselves. I heard recently that breakups are the thing that make you analyze the past, the present, and the future. Because obviously, all three of those are shook in that exact moment, right? The past with all the memories, the present because they're no longer here, and the future that you're going to start to build without them. And so that was a very cool thing for me to hear, obviously not at the time, but like very cool now. And one of my patterns is I'm a giving person. I'm a very giving person. While that may sound like so altruistic, like, oh, that's so beautiful, she's a giver. The truth is that some of my giving comes from manipulation, right? And I had to look at that really, really hard and ask the deepest parts of myself, you know, why do I need that, right? Why do I give like that? That's not my intent. My heart doesn't give like that, but my wounds, they give from that place. Now we're going to get really into this. From my heart is very pure. My heart gives without manipulation. My heart gives with intention. My wounds, though, my wounds give without intention. They have strings attached. And so those are some things that I had to look at really deeply and own it. You know, and there's another truth to me that I found in that I am a giver naturally at my core, again, in my heart of hearts. I realized the part of me that was giving to control the wound or to get something in return. And it's they'll never leave or they'll love me better or whatever the case may be in this situation. And then I also have to embrace the parts that simply give because I'm able to, and I want people to feel taken care of. And again, that's my essence. That's who I am. And so recently I've been thinking about what's next, and I started to wrestle with how much do I give? Do I give too much? How do I pace my, which is not a bad thing, but I started to get into a loop. And then I quickly realized like these thoughts are coming from fear, right? These are the ego. Only the ego wants to know what pace I should give at, right? And so if I'm really honest, you know, my partner and I knew far before it ended that we should have ended it. And I think that's where like the self-betrayal lives, and that's where the loss of trust lived. And thankfully, I had another voice come to me and quickly remind me that I know exactly who I am. I know exactly what I want. I know exactly what I deserve, and I will never, ever, ever allow myself to give myself less ever again. And I don't have to be afraid of getting into another relationship and how much I should give and my pace or anything like that, because I trust myself now that in a new relationship, should I not be receiving the reciprocation that I want or the reciprocity that I want, that I will just simply walk away because it's just not what I want. And so these are the small wins that I think we don't give ourselves credit for. This is the second piece of resiliency that I don't think we talk enough about. It is the rebuilding of trust within yourself. It is knowing that, shit, if this happens again, I'm going to be this heartbroken again, or I'm going to be, no. This likely won't happen again because I will walk away far before these things start to happen. I will not ignore the red or the yellow flags anymore, right? Because they're all over. I will not ignore the whisper, the nudge anymore, right? Because I love myself enough or too much to allow myself to just go through life unaware of the things that, of who I am or the things that I deserve, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's a really cute story that I love about a bird on a branch and how the bird doesn't put its faith in the branch, but it puts its faith in its wings and its ability to fly when and if the branch breaks. And that's it, right? So when life knocks us down and we get back up, learn the lesson and then put the faith back in your wings. Don't let it take you out. Don't let people, and I say people, but I don't mean people. Don't let situations that you co-created cut and clip your wings from being able to fly again. The most beautiful parts of people is who they are. And sometimes life knocks us down and we just start to become a different person because we think that the risk that we took in love or the risk that we took in leadership or the risk that we took by X, Y, or Z is what gave us this pain when it is not. Yes, on the outside, yes, that is true. That is what knocked you down. But if you can just get to the lesson, get to the origin, get to the piece of you that also helped that situation come about, I promise you that you will not only get back up, which is going to be part of your story, but you're never going to have to learn that lesson the same way again because you're going to trust yourself more than you did before. So instead of shutting parts down of yourself, like me, I'm going to choose and I'm going to learn how to still allow myself to give, but this time with boundaries and a lot of self-awareness. Where is this coming from? What am I giving this for? Making sure that it's coming from the heart and not the wound. Because the trust isn't in will people take advantage of me. It's if you are receiving less than you deserve, will you stay? That is where the lesson is. That was my growth. And I'm just giving you guys a story so that you can try to put yourselves in whatever shoes you have to put yourself. That is what I learned. And that is how I'm learning to trust myself again. And I know this is a leadership podcast. And so in leadership, right, leaders stop trusting themselves when their kindness again is taken for granted or when the mistake costs their credibility or when the loyalty isn't reciprocated. And the temptation is to harden up, I know. But overcorrecting in leadership is often done because we as leaders miss a step. We don't close a loophole and someone takes advantage of the loophole. And instead of seeing that as an opportunity that they took, we see it as a threat, as betrayal, as troublemaking. Some people will always find the loophole and God bless them. I love it personally, right? They'll find, you know, the one misstep or the one loop we didn't close. And if you can reframe that as a good thing, like I do, like I think when people do this at work, I think it's one of the most beautiful things to ever see. To see someone find the loophole, it is such an opportunistic characteristic that they have. One, two, now it gives you a view of the loophole that you would not have seen otherwise. So now you close it, you thank them. They got away with it for as long as they got away with it for. You thank them and you move on. There is no betrayal. There's no troublemaking. There's no personal attacks here. I think that, you know, instead of blanket statementing these things or blanket responding these things, I should say, and creating new policies and new rules, you just understand that people are always going to get away with or try to get away with as much as they can. That's just human nature. So don't take those things personally. I've realized in life and in leadership a lot that the less you take things personal, the better you are for everyone involved because you're going to make decisions from the best intentions. And sometimes they won't land. you know, you'll give opportunities to people and they won't rise to meet them. But the takeaway is not that they didn't rise to meet them. I think the takeaway is that you had the ability to give someone an opportunity. The fact that they didn't rise to it means nothing to you. It means way more about them than anything else. And so if you know your values and you know you acted with integrity, and then if it didn't work out, then again, just learn from it. And that's where the self-trust is rebuilt. It's by saying, I know what I did. I've learned what I needed to learn, and I still choose to show up. And again, I think knowing your values is super important. Recently, I had the opportunity to take advantage of something, but it stayed in my mind on like a loop. And I realized that it was really outside of my integrity circle. And I thought of it and I realized that it felt way better to not take advantage. And what came next was relief. Once I decided, I went for a walk, and once I decided that I was not going to take advantage of it, I felt instant relief. And so I knew that it was the right thing to do, right? Once I felt that relief, it felt so good. And this simple act of owning my decision and actually thinking through and choosing the most honest option really allowed me to see how trustworthy I am, even with no one watching, because this is something that nobody would have ever found out about. It allowed me to see that people are safe with me, and that more importantly, I am safe with me. See, the thing about trusting yourself is not just trusting yourself when people can find out things. It's being trustworthy even and especially when you're the only one that would know. And this is why I say apologizing when you know you need to is so big, right? You said something out of pocket. You did something out of turn. You had an outburst. You overshared something that you weren't supposed to. And when you get that sinking feeling, that sinking, that oh shit, that moment that you start to like, man, I shouldn't have done that. That's when you also have to dig deeper and like muster up the courage to apologize, because it's not for them. It's for you. Especially if that's not who you're trying to be. This is the biggest part of trusting yourself again. Knowing you did something wrong and correcting it, and not pretending it never happened and hoping it goes away. It is literally just owning your part in it, looking someone else in the face and saying sorry. And 9 times out of 10, and I say 9 out of 10 because I apologized once and it wasn't received well, but 9 times out of 10, people will receive your apology and you'll move on and you'll never think about it ever again. So in closing, I want you guys to remember that as leaders, as people, we make the best decisions with the information we have. If you need more information, go get more information. But once you feel satisfied and you make the decision, just trust that you did the best you could with what you had. And I want you to remember that giving up part of yourself is never the answer. It's always to look inward and to learn, then lead and love again and again and again, but this time better. That's how you trust again. You don't shrink, you grow. One self-reflection question I wrote down here is, where in your life or in your leadership are you punishing yourself instead of trusting yourself again? And what is one lesson you can carry forward to rebuild that trust? This was a very personal episode, but I want to be honest and transparent with you guys as always. I think we're going to walk in this direction together. I think we're going to start to talk a little more than just, you know, the characteristics of leadership. These kinds of episodes really come from my heart. I know I was reading a little bit, but that's because I didn't want to miss anything. And so I took the time to write this episode out, which is something I don't usually do, but I knew that this being the first of this kind, I wanted to make sure that I came correct and that I was clear about all the points. And so thank you so much for spending time with me today. And if this episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with someone who needs to hear it. And as always, thank you for choosing to lead from the heart. Until next time, see ya.